This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In this edition today, our bulletin of church news to be followed by Panorama, and then our feature of culture and society. Today we shall close with a segment dedicated to young people. My name is Kenyatta Godfrey Kampamba. Archbishop Edgar Pena Parra, the substitute of the Secretariat of State, is expected to testify in the 4th to 8th July court proceedings at the British High Court in London. This is in a trial regarding the Vatican's purchase and sale of the property on Sloane Avenue in Chelsea. The case comes up over 8 months after the conclusion of the trial in the Vatican Tribunal regarding the purchase and the sale of the London property, which saw the conviction of 10 defendants for various crimes, including fraud and corruption. Here is a report by Sister Rosalind Wafula.
The British trial began on June 24th, following a civil complaint by Raffaele Mincione, a financier convicted in the Vatican trial. He was sentenced to over 5 years imprisonment and permanent disqualification from public office. Mincione is seeking recognition in the UK High Court that he acted in good faith in the transactions with the Holy See for the London property. The Secretariat of State, however, has always contested the inflated price of the property and the special powers Mincione acquired in the various transactions. The Vatican purchased a 45% interest in the former Harrods warehouses in the prestigious part of London. In the trial, the Holy See claimed the property was overvalued to a tune of 50 to 100 million euros. On Thursday, the Vatican substitute of the Secretariat of State, Archbishop Edgar Parra, will appear at the High Court as a witness on the Holy See's behalf. Attorneys for the Secretariat of State have prepared an 84-page defense memorandum. The document notes the timing of Mincione's complaint when the financier was under investigation by the Vatican's judicial authority. It upholds the Vatican's trials process and result, noting that 55 witnesses were heard. The brief notes that Mincione's complaint avoids mention of the property's overvaluation and the damage it caused. Therefore, it concludes the Secretariat of State's case in this trial is based on a combination of documentary evidence and issues that will need to be addressed to Mincione and others in cross-examination. I am Sister Roslyn Wambani Wafula.
The Catholic bishops of Sudan and South Sudan are appealing to the leaders of the war-torn country of Sudan to lay down their arms and work for peace. Their call comes in the face of the escalating conflict and humanitarian crisis, while the head of the Sudanese armed forces vows no negotiations until victory. Francesca Mello reports.
The Catholic Bishops of Sudan and South Sudan, or SCBC, are pleading for an end to the horrific war tearing apart Sudan. The fabric of Sudanese society has been torn apart, with people shocked, traumatized, and disbelieving about the level of violence and hatred, said the bishops. Sadly, there appears to be no end in sight of the escalating conflict between the Sudanese Armed Forces, or SAF, and the Rapid Support Forces, RSF. In fact, General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, head of the Sudanese Armed Forces, has resolutely closed the door to dialogue to end the civil war. We are continuing in this battle until victory, and I repeat once again that we will not negotiate with an enemy who attacks us and occupies our lands, said General al-Burhan as he visited his troops in areas surrounding the capital Khartoum that his army has seized. The Sudanese capital has been the epicenter of fierce fighting between the SAF and the RSF for over a year. Al-Burhan has often reiterated his refusal to bow to international pressure and sit at a negotiation table in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. The humanitarian toll of the conflict is staggering. The RSF's new territorial sieges have forced at least 55,000 people to flee Sinjar, the capital of Sana'a. And according to the United Nations, at least 10 million Sudanese have been displaced since the war began in April 2023, and they often find themselves trapped in areas that the two groups are fighting over. The SCBC bishops denounced the selfish interests driving the conflict at the conclusion of their meeting in June. They said this is not simply a war between two generals, as the military has inextricably embedded itself in the economic life of the country. Both SAF and RSF have networks of wealthy elite Sudanese and international individuals and cartels who benefit from their control of various economic sectors and are linked to external sponsors who continue to provide them with increasingly sophisticated weapons such as drones. I'm Francesca Merlo.
Cardinal Berane Jesus Surafiel of Addis Ababa has lamented the precarious situation of the people of Ethiopia who are suffering the effects of war and poverty. The ordinary of Addis Ababa and president of the Episcopal Conference of Ethiopia is in a group of Ethiopian bishops who are currently in Rome for their five-yearly liminal visit to the Vatican. The Ethiopian bishops on 20th June met with Pope Francis to share with him the reality on the ground in their country. Speaking to Vatican Radio on the sidelines of their busy schedule at the Vatican, the Cardinal highlighted the fact that the Church is close to the immensely suffering people of Ethiopia, whom he said are being helped through the outreach efforts offered by the local Church. The bishops of Ghana have lauded the outgoing apostolic nuncio to the country for what they say is his exemplary service and unwavering faith. In his speech during a farewell mass at the Christ the King of the Catholic Archdiocese of Accra, the president of the Ghana Catholic Bishops' Conference, Bishop Matthew Kwasi Gyamfi of Ghana's Catholic Diocese of Sunyani, said Archbishop Henrik Mieczysław Jagodzinski exemplified unwavering dedication, profound wisdom, and a steadfast commitment to fostering unity and understanding within the Church in Ghana and beyond. He noted the fact that the outgoing nuncio's diplomatic finesse, coupled with his deep spiritual insight, has guided Ghana through both challenges and triumphs, always with a vision of peace and fraternity. He said under the nuncio's leadership, the Catholic Church in Ghana had witnessed remarkable strides in dialogue, cooperation, and mutual respect among different religious and societal groups. The Polish-born diplomat was on 16th April this year appointed to represent the Holy Father in South Africa and Lesotho. On June 29th, Pope Francis appointed Monsignor Julian Kabore, a native of Burkina Faso, as the new apostolic nuncio in Ghana. You are tuned to the Daily Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama. More than 136,000 people have fled Sudan's southeastern Sennar state since the paramilitary rapid support forces, RSF, launched a series of attacks on towns, the United Nations said in a statement on Wednesday. The latest wave of displacement caused by Sudan's nearly 15 months war. They drain nearly 10 million people who have been forced from their homes since the war broke out between the RSF and the regular army. The war has sparked accusations of ethnic cleansing and warnings of famine, particularly in RSF-controlled areas of the country. The rapid support forces quickly turned their attention to the smaller towns of Sanjar and Al-Dandara, triggering an exodus of civilians from all three, mainly to neighboring Al-Jadarf and Blue Nile states. According to two diplomatic sources in Kenya, President William Ruto spoke by phone with the International Monetary Fund's Kristalin Georgieva in the days after he withdrew $2.7 billion in proposed tax increases in response to deadly protests.
The financial bill, which included the tax increases, was central to the policy reforms Kenya agreed with the IMF as part of a $3.6 billion US dollars loan program. Although the government does not urgently need money from the IMF, after it was able to repay an original $2 billion US dollars bond this year by issuing a new 7-year bond. International Monetary Funds has been a major target of the anger of young Kenyan protesters, who accuse it of being the driving force behind the proposed tax hikes. Reporters from the eastern part of the Democratic Republic of Congo say that government soldiers are abandoning their positions for fear of fighting the advancing M23 rebels, who have captured several towns in North Kivu province in recent days. The government has responded by prosecuting officers and soldiers who have abandoned their positions. The fighting has killed many people and displaced millions, creating a humanitarian crisis. This is the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
This is Culture and Society, and you are welcome to the program. My name is Kanyan Tagodufri Kampamba. Aid to the Church in Need is a Catholic charity that was founded in 1947 for war refugees. Over the years, Aid to the Church in Need is dedicated to the service of Christians who are persecuted or oppressed or are suffering material need. With headquarters in Königstein in Germany, the Catholic charity was in 2011 recognized as a pontifical foundation. With 23 national offices, Aid to the Church in Need provides aid to Catholic communities in around 140 countries all over the world. In 2021, the foundation funded 5,598 projects in 132 countries. Today, the International Catholic Pastoral Aid Organization offers financial support to more than 5,000 projects worldwide. In this program today, I talk to the head of Section for Eastern Africa of the Aid to the Church in Need. Our chat came at the end of the meeting of ROACO, the Vatican umbrella organization that supports the work of charity of the Catholic Church. And from the head of Eastern Africa, we hear about the work of Aid to the Church in Need in that part of the continent.
My name is Tony Zender. I am the head of Section for Eastern Africa at the Foundation of Pontifical Right, Aid to the Church in Need, headquartered in Germany.
Now, what brings you to Rome? What are you doing here?
I'm in Rome because I participated in the ROACO meeting. The ROACO meeting is a meeting that supports the work of the is organized by the Congregation for Oriented Churches, and it is organized to support where different organizations convene in order to better support the church in the Middle East and the Oriental churches.
What do you do at Aid to the Church in Need? What's your role there?
My current role is that I oversee currently the projects in Eastern Africa. So from Ethiopia, Eritrea, Somalia, Djibouti, and also in Kenya, Tanzania, Uganda, and Malawi. But in the 1st of October, I will be working for the Middle East and also overseeing the work still in Eritrea and Ethiopia.
What is involved in your work? What do you exactly do?
It is especially meeting with various stakeholders in the area, for example, with bishops, with the superior generals of congregations, of female congregations, male congregations. We meet with rectors of seminaries. We meet with the deans of studies of universities. So everywhere where we can support the works of the church, we try to be present and to inform and to help to create good pastoral projects.
Who is eligible to get support from the church in need?
Eligible is any church institution through their local diocese and also religious congregations through their superiors. So one cannot apply directly to church in need. It's the local ordinary who oversees and coordinates the work and also sets the priorities. So we rely heavily on the local structures, on the local church, and also with that on the local expertise, because the bishop knows best, and the bishop and his consultants, his people, they know best what the situation in the individual diocese is. So it's also they also task them with setting the priorities. So they know which parish house to renovate first. It's something, a decision we cannot make for them. It's something they know best.
Now, where is the place of congregations? Do they have the right to come to you and ask for help? Religious congregations, for instance.
Yes, they can request help in their own right, especially for formation, everything that they oversee themselves, formation of novices, formation of scholastics, of young sisters and fathers in training. They can apply for scholarships for higher studies in European Rome. They can apply for scholarships in Africa. On top of that, they can also, together with the local ordinary of a diocese, they can also apply for projects that fall within the jurisdiction of the bishop. So, for example, if a congregation serves in a local parish, they can also with the bishop, they can also request help to, for example, renovate the parish house or request a motorcycle for the new assistant parish priest. Those things are also possible. There we always want people to cooperate, to work together, that there is a good unity of the church in the place where it exists.
Now, you said in the next few months you are leaving the Africa area. You are going to be in charge of the Asian area. When you look back to your work in the Africa region of your work, what would you call as a success story under your charge?
So,
where you'd say, we did that together and it worked.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So very successful projects, huh? In that sense. Yeah. So during my time, I was allowed to see a huge variety of very, very encouraging and successful projects, especially in the area of formation and also in the area of creating basic infrastructure. So concerning the first one, we've trained a huge number of people, be it sisters, be it priests, be it religious brothers, so that they have the true capacities to better serve the church and the people in the area. And also we did a lot of ongoing formation, where we got a lot of, we helped the local church to do ongoing formation, where we got a lot of positive replies in the sense that we got letters where they were very thankful that they could do a spiritual retreat, which otherwise would not have been possible. Sometimes also Ignatian retreat. People really, and also...
Ignatian retreat for 30 days?
Yes, yes, Ignatian retreat for 30 days. That also happened. It's something also where we helped, especially in the context of sabbatical courses. They do that very successfully in Uganda.
But this retreat is for you guys, the ones who run church to aid to the church indeed?
No. The retreat is for pastoral agents, especially sisters and priests, from Eastern Africa. We provide the funds so that the local church or also the congregation can run the retreat. Yeah, so they organize themselves. We work together with the local partners. So they run the show, and we help them. We help them by providing the funds. Yeah?
Okay. Now, Malawi is one of the countries under your cover.
Yes.
Would you say something about your experience in Malawi? How have you helped to support the projects of the church in Malawi?
So Malawi is a very, very special place. It was always very dear to my heart. it's the, as you said, I mean, it struggles concerning, in some areas, concerning the general development. But on the other hand, the Catholic Church there has a very, very bright future. Good things are happening. They have motivated people. Of course, there are certain problems, as everywhere, that need to be overcome. But in the long run, they are building up something very good. And I remember, for example, that we trained a lot of formators for the seminaries. We sent them here to Rome for different studies. We trained diocesan personnel, and we renovated the seminary. So they have a historic seminary there that was built in the 1940s.
The Cacciabere.
Cacciabere, correct. It's something that we have to renovate so that it can serve very well the local church, and so that we upgrade not only the facilities but also the quality of the formation.
Tony Zender, the head of section for Eastern Africa of the Catholic Charity Aid to the Church in Need. And that is all we have time for in this edition of Culture and Society. Until next week, at the same time, my name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba.
And now, news for young people.
Hello and welcome to the program. I am Festus Tarawali. As you may have heard in one of our reports, Pope Francis on Monday presided at an ordinary consistory of cardinals which approved the canonization of 15 people, including Blessed Carlo Acutis, the first millennial to be made a saint. Millennials are those born between 1981 and 1996. Carlo Acutis, a web designer, died of leukemia at the age of 15 in 2006. No specific date has been set for the elevation to sainthood of Acutis, who was dubbed God's influencer for his work spreading the Catholic faith online. Acutis made his computer an instrument at the service of God and the internet a way to evangelize, spreading his love for the Holy Eucharist, reads a post on the website of the 2023 World Youth Day in Lisbon, Portugal, of which he was named a patron. Devin Watkins tells us more about the life of Carlo Acutis.
Blessed Carlo Acutis will likely be proclaimed a saint during the 2025 Jubilee, possibly along with other canonizations. Born in 1991 in London, England, to Italian parents, Blessed Carlo was a web designer who died from leukemia at the age of 15 in Monza, Italy. He was known for his devotion to Eucharistic miracles and Marian apparitions, which he catalogued on a website he designed. According to the Peroratio, Blessed Carlo was welcoming and caring towards the poorest, and he helped the homeless, the needy, and immigrants with the money he saved from his weekly allowance. I'm Devin Watkins.
Meanwhile, Catholic youth in the Archdiocese of Accra, Ghana, have pledged to be more engaged in digital evangelization. This was part of a series of resolutions they adopted at the end of their three-day youth congress held under the theme, Be Present and Connected. The other resolutions include promoting a culture of strong personal prayer routine for effective discernment, embracing the teachings of the theology of the body in personal life, implementing regular leadership programs tailored to different age groups, and helping to create a safe environment. Let us listen to a representative of the young people reading a part of the resolutions during the closing mass of the Youth Congress on Saturday, the 29th of June.
We as youth will embrace the teachings of the theology of the body in our personal lives, and we would ask that the church trains parents and guardians to guide the youth towards lives of purity by organizing workshops on theology of the body. We as youth would implement regular leadership programs tailored to different age groups, such as junior leadership training for children and advanced workshops for adults. We ask the church to create a specialized guide for educating children in leadership and then the young people such as us through age-appropriate leadership training programs. So we as youth would also create a judgment-free zone for all youths to share their thoughts and concerns by organizing open forums and discussions. And we ask the church to also ensure Catholic schools prioritize safety and moral formation by conducting regular safety drills and implementing safeguarding policies in their schools.
And looking ahead to the World Youth Day 2027 in South Korea, the Archdiocese of Seoul recently transformed the backyard of Myeongdong Cathedral into a campsite to engage with young members of the church in the Asian nation. Approximately 600 young people gathered on the evening of the 28th of June for the Camp at the Cathedral event organized by the World Youth Day Seoul 2027 Local Organizing Committee. The event aimed to build bridges between the church and its younger followers through dialogue and shared experiences. During the event, under the theme Do Not Fear, four young keynote speakers addressed the challenges contemporary youth face and shared their faith experiences. Speaking at the event, Archbishop Peter Soon Tae Kyung expressed his gratitude for the young participants' honesty and willingness to share their stories. It was a precious time to hear the stories of your lives. I am grateful to the young people for their valuable time. We will continue to organize various gatherings to share stories with you as the protagonists, he remarked. For more on this and other stories, visit our web portal, vaticannews.va/en. And that's all for this edition of News for Young People. Till the same time next week, I am Festus Tarawali.
This is the Africa Service of Vatican Radio, and my name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. We shall be back with you again at the same time tomorrow. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.